The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable William S. Greenberg presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. This is Judge Greenberg, and with me are Judges Allen and Meredith. We are convened via teleconference to consider arguments in the matter of Herlinda Richard against Wilkie, case number 19-1619. Will counsel, beginning with the appellant's counsel, please make your appearances for the record?
Yes, Your Honor. My name is John Niles, and with me is Barton Stitchman. We represent the appellant, Mrs. Herlinda Richard.
Thank you. For the secretary.
Good morning. This is Melissa Timbers, arguing on behalf of the secretary, and with me is Ken Walsh.
Thank you. If counsel are ready, by the way, does appellant counsel wish to reserve some time?
Yes, Your Honor. 7 minutes, please.
Thank you. All right. Begin. Mr. Niles.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. I'll give an overview of this appeal and then address its disputed issues. In 2002, United States Air Force veteran Robert Richard claimed service connection for lung cancer. He asserted that during his military service, he had been exposed to herbicide agents. He had served during the Vietnam era, including in Thailand. VA denied his claim in 2003 because it found that he had failed to establish herbicide exposure. Mr. Richard refiled for service connection in 2011, now submitting new evidence, including a printout of a VA website that identified and described a 1973 Department of Defense report that had long been classified, was now declassified, and acknowledged the Vietnam-era presence of herbicide agents in Thailand. With this filing now in hand, VA in October 2012 conceded that Mr. Richard, in fact, had been exposed to herbicides while serving during the Vietnam era in Thailand, and in 2013, VA granted service connection. When it granted service connection, VA assigned an effective date of October 7th, 2011, the date of the refiling, and it is the effective date that is the subject of this appeal. The appellant is now Mrs. Herlinda Richard. She is Mr. Richard's surviving spouse. She contends that 38 CFR Section 3156C entitles her to an earlier effective date, one that goes back as far as 2002. As background, Section C1 provides that at any time after VA initially decides a claim, if VA receives or associates with the claims file a qualifying service department record, then, well, VA, again, it will reconsider the claim. And Section C3 goes on to say that if the VA grants an award that is based in any part on that service department record, the effective date can go back as far as the original claims filing. And so here, 2002, as opposed to 2011. And in particular, Mrs. Richard, it is her contention that C1 provides two separate and independent avenues through which a service department can trigger reconsideration. One is that the service department be associated with the claims file, and the other is simply that VA has received it. I will address why this court can determine as a matter of law that VA has received the Chico report, and why this court may do so on the basis of just the documents that are in the claims file without going on to address the exhibits that Mrs. Richard has provided to this court. I then will address why VA's receipt of the Chico report also satisfies all of Section C's remaining requirements, including that it is relevant. And so first, the issue of receipt.
Mr. Niles, this is Judge Allen. Before you go on, I just want to ask if you agree with something. So the board didn't discuss 3.156C, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so the question of whether or not 3.156C was ripe to be discussed is distinct from whether or not something would qualify under C1 or then be entitled someone to an earlier effective date under C3, right? In other words, those two questions are actually distinct questions, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so would you also agree that the trigger for, my word, trigger, for having to discuss something has got to be less than, or at least less than or equal to, the standard for whether C1 applies, right? In other words, if C1 applies such that the claim will need to be reconsidered, right? Raising the issue to discuss that can't require a higher standard than what would actually be required to establish the need for reconsideration under C1. Are you on the same page with me there?
I believe so, and I will add to test this that the substantive appeal is in the claims file at pages 46 to 53. Mrs. Richard is a layperson. She didn't know 156C by citation, but even so, the substantive appeal seeks an earlier effective date and contains an attachment in which she says the reason why her late husband had refiled this claim in 2011 and why she was pursuing the appeal was their understanding that the Department of Defense had declassified the records, the acknowledgement of herbicide use during the Vietnam era in Thailand. And she also attached to that substantive appeal two copies of a press release that said that it addressed what would become 3816. She didn't know that by citation, but the very first sentence of this press release said that it's going to provide relief to veterans who served in Vietnam and other areas. And so she raised the issue to the board of this declassified report that opened up more relief in the form of an earlier effective date based on herbicide exposure in Thailand. And that was testing to make sure I understand your Honor's direction here. Did I have that right?
Yes, because... And I'm going to ask the secretary these questions as well, right? Because for me, the first step is, should the board have discussed it? And then, assuming that it should, and I'll tell you, it does seem to me that Mrs. Richard did a number of things that might have put this on the table as part of, as well as some other things. But then we move to what can the court do here appropriately, given the total lack of discussion, right? Because if we say it should have been discussed, then of course we turn to the body of your argument now, which is, well, what things can the court do and what can't it do because the board didn't do anything? So I'll let you get back. So you understand my question.
I do, Your Honor. And I'll address this threshold issue and then move on to C1. And on this threshold issue of how far can this court go here, I think this court's decision in Emerson versus McDonald is very helpful in this point. That was another 3156C case. And in that case, the claimant had been denied for service connection, had not appealed within the appellate period, then refiled, received a grant of service connection, appealed the issue of the rating evaluation and the effective date. And only in that appeals proceedings did the service department records come in. And the board did not address Section C at all. And on appeal, this court set aside the board's decision and held as a matter of law that the VA's receipt of the service department records, even in that context, had triggered C1. And at that point, it remanded for a C3 determination. Did VA's award rely on any part on the service department record? And now to take a step towards the C1's text, the three key words here are VA receives or. VA means simply Department of Veterans Affairs. Section C1 in no way limits or qualifies that term. Receives means to come into possession of. And the word or is, and that's at worst for Mrs. Richard. And the word or is a disjunctive. And because or is a disjunctive, Section C1's plain language makes clear that it does not matter whether the service department record has been associated with the claims file so long as the Department of Veterans Affairs has come into possession of it. And I think it's worthwhile to add that C1 contains no language such as the type you see in 3156A that requires the claimant to submit the evidence. And it contains no provision that requires the service department record to be received in connection with a particular claim. And it also contains no provision that requires any particular entity or individual within VA to receive the service department record. It says only that, quote unquote, VA receives, end quote, the service department record. And here, even from the facts in the claims file, it is plain that VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, has come into possession of the Chico report. This is apparent even from the VA website printout that Mr. Richard submitted in September 2011. And I'm going to quote that. It says that a recently declassified Department of Defense or DOD report written in 1973 titled Project Chico Southeast Asia Report, Base Defense in Thailand, 1968 to 1972, contains evidence that there was a significant use of herbicides on the fenced-in perimeters of military bases in Thailand to remove foliage that provided cover for enemy forces. VA would not have put that statement on its website unless it had received and reviewed the Chico report. And if that VA website printout were not enough to establish that VA had received the Chico report, the October 2012 memorandum in which VA conceded Mr. Richard's exposure to herbicides during his Vietnam-era service in Thailand contained both that website and another exhibit. And the other exhibit I'm referring to is a VBA Compensation Services memorandum entitled Memorandum for the Record, Herbicide Use in Thailand. And this also identified the Chico report and said that it, quote unquote, has been reviewed. And so once again, VA could not have reviewed the report unless it had received it. And so it is plain from the facts in the claims file that VA has received the Chico report.
Yeah. May I interrupt? Assume that we agree with you. What do you want us to do? What order do you want the court to issue?
Your Honor, I would ask that the court issue an order that reverses the board's denial of an effective date earlier than October 7th, 2011, that holds that VA, as a matter of law, received the Chico report. I would love for the board, or for this court, although it does not need to, for Mrs. Richard to prevail in this appeal, to go on and address and provide clarity, stepping through all the exhibits that Mrs. Richard has provided and providing the entire timeline here so that veterans advocates all over the country have access to this in a published decision that the VA can also look to. This is a population that's running out of time. VA needs to be moving on these claims. This court also to rule as a matter of law that given the circumstances, the facts of record in this appeal, VA relied at least in part, to base this award at least in part, on the Chico report. And at that point, I believe that's as far as this court can go. It still has to remand for VA to make a determination to assign the earliest effective date to which Section 3156 entitles Mrs. Richard under C3 and C4.
Sorry to interrupt again, but why does VA have to do anything except a mere ministerial act of applying the date that I guess it was Mrs. Richard because he'd already died, right? Or was it... which is your earliest effective date that you're seeking here?
As far back as 2002, September 2002.
So he was very much alive. And so why can't we order that the VA assign an effective date of 2002? As you say, they're running out of time. These are Vietnam veterans. He's already dead. how many more thousands are there out there that are unaware of this situation? Why can't we just enter an order compelling the secretary to, as a matter of law, find in this case, perhaps in all cases, an effective date when the application based upon this report was made?
And Your Honor, I'd like to clarify that I do believe this court has discretion to do that. What I want to shy away from is implying that Mrs. Richard is hanging her hat on this court being required to do so. And so if this court does reverse and find that require VA to assign an effective date going back to September 2002, Mrs. Richard would thank this court tremendously. She's been going through this process for a long, long time now, which frankly, she shouldn't have had to endure.
Thank you.
I would like to address...
So
in terms of asking the court to reverse, could we go through each of the elements of 3.156C? And you've referred to some of them as matters of law, but I want to understand what you think are factual and what are legal questions in 3.156C. So, for example, there has to be an official service department record. It has to be relevant. It had to have existed at the time of the prior denial. It had to have been received after the prior denial. Which of those do you view as factual questions?
In the circumstance of this case, I'm sorry, I need to take a sip of water. I'll address this. In the circumstances of this case, the secretary does not dispute that the Chico report is an official service department record. The secretary does not dispute that it existed at the time of the initial decision in 2003 or that it had not been associated with the claims file as of 2003. And I also do not understand the secretary to dispute that, and Mrs. Richard put a lot of time into looking into when did VA first receive this document. The earliest, even a partially declassified version of it that could be found was 2007. We don't understand the secretary to dispute that VA did not receive the Chico report until after this claim was initially decided in 2003. And in fact, this is an area where, again, although the court doesn't need to go to the exhibits for her to prevail in this appeal, if it does, the December 2011 compensation service bulletin goes through an example of a veteran whose claim had initially been denied in 2006 and said that C would apply there with respect to the Chico report. And so in the circumstances of this appeal, again, there's no genuine factual dispute there, and all the required fact-finding has been established for this court to be able to conclude that VA has received the Chico report, that it meets all these other requirements of C1, and then as I would like to go on to address, that the Chico report is relevant. And the Chico, oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Just clarify, so it's not that you're not contesting that these are factual findings that lead up to application of 3.16C, it's that you essentially believe the secretary has conceded those facts.
My hesitance is that, you know, I don't think that the court needs to go this far, but I think that the appropriate framework for this is actually that this should look a lot like Niemer. When the secretary received the Chico report in 2007 or 2010, at that point, or at least in December 2011, when VA adopted a policy saying that whenever a claimant was seeking reopening or VA otherwise came across one of these prior denials before it had received the Chico report, VA had the affirmative obligation to go out and reconsider these claims. There's nothing that the claimant had to do. And so I actually don't think that the claims file in some respect, and I'm mentioning that to come back to the factual issue, comes into play until C3 in some respect, where the Chico report as a matter of law has been received by the VA. And it's Mrs. Richard's position that it's relevant. And the only time or the first time in this analysis where the claims file really comes into play is, did VA rely on it, at least in part, to grant this award? And if so, then the earlier effective date provision applies. Have I responded to Your Honor's question?
I believe so. Could I ask you about the 2011 compensation bulletin that you mentioned is attached to your brief? Are you suggesting that that's probably not binding on the board, the compensation service guidance, but can we rely on it as official VA policy as to all those items that you have just enumerated about a service department record and when it was received? On what basis will we use that information in the compensation bulletin?
Yes, Your Honor, and this court could rely. This court can take judicial notice of it and rely on it as a policy that was binding at the regional office level. These claims should never have reached the board. They should be the regional office identifying them and granting reconsideration. And the policy that bound the regional office really should have been the end of the story there. I'd also like to address why, I see that I'm running short on time, I'd like to address why the Chico report is relevant. This claim is for lung cancer, and lung cancer is one of the diseases for which, when the claimant has been exposed to herbicide agents, VA must presume that the exposure caused the disease. In 2003, VA had denied service connection on the basis that Mr. Richard had failed to establish that exposure. In 2012, with this new filing in hand, these documents that refer to the Chico report, even the memorandum's references to Mr. Richard having been in the proximity of the Thailand Air Base's perimeter, these all go to the Chico report establishing the Vietnam-era presence of herbicide agents in Thailand. The Chico report was dispositive here. It plainly meets the lower threshold of merely being relevant. And because VA has received the Chico report, because it is relevant, because the secretary has not disputed any other of the of Section C1's requirements, the Chico report, VA's receipt of it, checks all of the boxes to require reconsideration. And as the 2012 memorandum conceding herbicide exposure, the 2013 rating decision that granted service connection on the basis of that concession, and on up established, VA cannot genuinely dispute that it relied at least in part on the Chico report to grant this award. And so once again, Mrs. Richard respectfully requests that the board's decision be reversed. It's denial of an earlier effective date than October 7th, 2011 be reversed. This court hold that C1 applies. This court hold that C3 applies. And that this court, if it believes that it can grant an earlier effective date going back to September 2002, that it do so. Otherwise, that it remand for VA to make the initial determination of the earliest effective date that it can assign under 3156C.
Well, wait a minute. Why can't we order the 2002 earlier effective date? What would stop us from imposing that obligation? They had notice of it. The Department of Defense apparently suppressed this report, certainly classified it, wasn't open to the public. How about this? If Mr. Richard or Mrs. Richard had this Chico report in 2002 and relied on it to make the application, would there be any question about the effective date?
My hesitation here, and I do think that she will end up being entitled to 100% rating going back to September 2002 or October 2002, is that on the facts of
this case—
Because
you believe, just a minute, because you believe that if we remanded it, that the VA in good faith would apply the facts and assign that earlier effective date?
Yes, Your Honor, on that assumption. Mr. Richard had his lung cancer, the cancerous portion of his lung removed. and he was never able to work again. But my hesitation here is that the basis for the 100% rating at that point would have changed from the act of lung cancer to potentially some other basis. And his lung cancer then returned in 2009. And that is my only hesitation about this court granting in the first instance, ordering VA to assign an earlier effective date going back to 2002.
All right, I understand. I think your time has expired. Why don't you, unless my colleagues have further questions, why don't you reserve your additional argument for rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Judge Allen, do you have a question at this point?
I don't, thanks.
And Judge Meredith?
I do not, thank you.
All right, thank you, counsel. All right, we'll hear from the government.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The secretary submits that this court should affirm the November 2018 decision of the board. Affirmance is appropriate for three reasons. First, the reconsideration provisions of Section 3.156C are inapplicable here because the Checker report was not constructively of record. Second, appellant fails to show that VA had a duty to obtain the Checker report on her behalf. And third, because VA did not reconsider appellant's claim per C1, the earlier effective date provisions of subsection C3 are not applicable. Your Honors, there is no dispute that the Checker report was never associated with the claims file underlying this appeal. Thus, in order to prevail on her claim, appellant must show...
Just Judge Allen. So what do you say then about the position taken in the December 2011 compensation and pension at that time bulletin? I mean, it specifically talks about this issue. It talks about 3.156C. It talks about the report. It says we're going to apply it. This is quite literally the third case in my just over 3 years being a judge where there is something that VA says they don't do, and then they come before the court and they say, well, too bad it's not binding on the board. Overton, Healy, which we haven't decided yet, and now this case. I mean, why shouldn't we just say, at a minimum, you said you were going to do it. Board, if you're not going to do it, you have to say why you're not going to follow what you told all your frontline adjudicators to do. I honestly do not understand this.
Well, Your Honor, aside from the matter of whether or not the M21-1 is binding on the board, which secretary position is that it's not, the December 2011 CNP bulletin doesn't direct that whenever a claim based on herbicide exposure in Thailand arises, that VA must reconsider the claim. In order for reconsideration to occur under C1, the service department record has to be associated with the claims file.
No, it does not. The regulation says received, VA receives, or associated with the claims file, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but
receives has to mean something different than associated with the claims file, right?
Your Honor.
Answer that question. Receives must mean something different than associates with the claims file.
Yes, Your Honor. Receives can mean either, receives in this context should be interpreted to mean constructive possession.
What? No. Received could be constructive, but you know the natural meaning of received is I get something, right? I mean, that's the natural meaning. You know, when a football player receives a pass, we don't say he constructively caught it. Usually we mean he caught it. Here, receives in the regulation has to mean something that is different than associates with the claims file. It has to, because otherwise it would be repetitive. So if that's the case, VA receives, right? Leave aside the associated with the claims file and all of this constructively associated. There is no dispute that VA received the Chico report, right? I mean, just as a matter of English.
Yes, Your Honor, there is no dispute that VA has received the Chico report. However, the mere fact that VA receives this report is not sufficient. reading receives
well, no, hold on before we go on to the other elements. That first element, though, leave aside the timing question, okay? There is no question, though, that VA received the Chico report, right? There's no dispute about that.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So then, second question. That there's no dispute that the report existed at the time of the earlier denial, right?
Yes, Your Honor. There's no dispute that the report existed.
And there's no dispute that VA received it after the denial, right?
Your Honor, we don't know the date that VA received the Chico report. But going back to the heart of the...
Nope, fair enough. You're going to want to stick on that point. It would be really... We might not be able to say it if the Secretary is going to stand on the point that maybe VA somehow had this report that was classified before it was declassified. But if that's the position you want to take, that's fine. Okay, so we now know that VA received... The report existed at the time of the earlier denial. You're putting to the side. You won't concede that VA didn't receive it before that, but okay, that's what we've got. It doesn't appear to me that you concede that you fought in your brief that it is a service department record, right? I mean, you agree that the Chico report qualifies as a service department record?
Yes, Your Honor. The Chico report would qualify as a service department record. But okay. Again, I want to get...
And well, I know you're getting frustrated with me, but I'm going to ask my questions. And so you can get frustrated. Okay. Then we're down to under C1 relevant, right? And the secretary doesn't concede that the report is relevant. Can you explain to me why that is, given the definition of relevant, why this report isn't relevant?
Well, Your Honor, it's not that we can't make the finding as whether or not this would be relevant to appellant's claim, because the board didn't address that in the first instance. It would be a factual finding for both myself and this court to make.
Great. And so, fine, I understand what you're saying. Craft for me your argument about why this would not be relevant to this veteran's claim.
Ooh, Your Honor.
Yeah, it's really pretty hard, right? It's really hard, but if the secretary is not willing to concede it, then I want you to tell three federal judges why this report about Agent Orange or rather herbicide exposure on Thailand bases, when the person has a presumptively herbicide connected disease, is not relevant.
Well, Your Honor, we could go so far as to say that the Chico report is relevant to appellant's claim because it was the basis for VA's change in policy towards Thailand veterans.
So then if that's right, if that's right, then it seems to me the point we are under C1 is the only thing you're not willing to accept as true is that VA didn't actually receive the report prior to 2002. So why wouldn't the board have had to discuss this?
Your Honor, our position is that the board did not have to discuss this because there's nothing in the record that independently triggered the reconsideration provision of C1. The fact that VA as an entity received the Chico report is not sufficient because here, when read in context of the entire regulation, receives must mean constructive possession.
I don't understand that. The regulation says VA received. You have conceded that VA received the report. What more would have to be done? Constructive. Once you talk about constructive, what you're talking about is something that at least Judge Meredith and I are very familiar with. Which is constructively in the record, in the claims file, right? But this actually is broader because associated with the claims file could mean actually associated, or arguably it could be constructive possession, maybe along the Azubio lines of directly related. Listen, I don't think this qualifies for that under the test we laid out in Azubio, right? But VA receives is far broader. So why do you read into VA receives that there's any element of construction that has to be done?
Well, Your Honor, the statute, when defining a word in a statute, you can't just look to the dictionary definition. And earlier, this court in Turner defined receives for per section 3.156B to mean either actual or constructive possession. So it's our position that C1 should also be read to mean either actual or constructive possession, or yes, being associated with the claims file.
I'm familiar with that as well, because Judge Meredith, I feel bad, wrote a single judge decision relying on what I said, wrote in Turner, and then the Federal Circuit gave a nice slap in Lang and said, nope, you're putting too much on this. Receives is received. So I'm not going to get reversed by the Federal Circuit again on that point. And so why can you rely on what we said in Turner when the Federal Circuit said we imposed a burden? I still think Turner was right. In other words, I still think that what we said in Turner made sense just because of the sheer breadth of the agency. But the Federal Circuit made pretty clear that we can't impose those requirements. So here, since the regulation that VA drafted itself did not limit reconsideration to associated with the claims file, but used an exceedingly broad word receives and used a word that could not be broader. The agency, right? It said VA receives. So given that it used a very broad word and didn't confine itself to anything other than VA, what constructive notion applies here? I'm sorry to be asking such direct questions, but it seems really bizarre to me that we're fighting on these points here and that this case didn't go back to simply have the board do the analysis.
Well, Your Honor, the Secretary's position is that you still must read constructive possession into C1. Here, the difference between this and Turner is that the Chico report was within VA's libraries in general, but the VA records for Mr. Turner were in his claims file based on there being a VA-generated document. Here, there's no dispute or there's no argument that the Chico report is not a document that's generated by VA. So in order for reconsideration to be triggered under this regulation, it has to be associated with the claims file.
So basically,
constructively, sir.
So basically what you say is the or between VA receives and or associated with claims file. You are asking us to take a giant judicial eraser and write that out of the regulation, because anything that VA received would only qualify if you then also said it was associated with the claims file actually or constructively, right? That's your argument, right?
No, Your Honor. We read receives as being either actual construction or constructive, and associates being submitted or put in the claims file physically.
So, but see, I just don't understand that. If VA actually receives something, right? I could see a claimant saying, hey, we should impose constructive receipt. And so VA doesn't actually get something, but we're going to pretend that it did. But that's, of course, the secretary could never agree to that, right? So here we're saying receives actually has to mean actually received. But then what you're saying is once VA actually receives something, that's not enough, because then you have to say that it's constructively related to the claims file, right? You're meshing the two, because it reads VA receives right out of the whole thing. It has no meaning.
Your Honor, we disagree with that. We believe that constructive for receives in this regulation is a necessary prerequisite for VA to know when to reconsider a claim. The mere fact that the Chico report has been received by some other portion of VA is not sufficient for the VA, the benefit adjudicators, to know when to reconsider the claim. So therefore,
with Lang, I mean literally, right? I mean literally, when I wrote that majority opinion in Turner, I was concerned precisely with that. that the Veterans Benefits Administration is entirely separate from the Veterans Health Administration. So something that's in the Veterans Health Administration, I thought realistically you needed to have something else, a triggering principle that would then tell the benefits folks to do something. And the Federal Circuit made absolutely clear that VA isn't it. It's not a they. And your regulation, 3.156C, treats VA as an it because it says VA receives. So how is your position consistent with Lange?
Your Honor, our position is consistent with Lange because the difference between the documents in Lange were that they were VA treatment records, and the document at issue here is not a document that was generated by VA. So our position remains that in order for appellant to prevail, the checker report must be constructively associated with the claims file. On appeal, appellant asserts that the CHECO report is constructively a record for at least three reasons. First, because VA have possession of this report. Second, because the CHECO report is referenced by documents which are actually a record. Or third, because the report establishes that herbicides were used in Thailand during the period in which the veteran was on active duty. However, none of these assertions are sufficient to establish that constructive possession applies. As to our first argument, that VA had possession of the CHECO report, this court in Monzingo held that simply showing that VA received a copy of a 2006 noise and military service report was insufficient to establish that the board had constructive possession over that report, especially where the report was nonspecific to the claimant and where the only connection between the report and appellant was that the report generally discussed the disability on appeal. As relevant here, appellant fails to show how the CHECO report bears a closer relationship to her claim than the 2006 noise and military report in Monzingo. Similarly, this court in Bowie foreclosed appellant's second assertion that the CHECO report is constructively of record because the CHECO report is referenced in a memorandum which is of record. In Bowie, this court refused to consider documents referenced in letters from VA personnel because it was not reasonable to expect the secretary or the board to have investigated, gathered, and considered those documents when they were merely referenced in expert opinion letters. Here, appellant fails to make any meaningful distinction between the facts of her case and the facts in Bowie. As such, this court must find that, consistent with Bowie, mere reference to a document which is not of record and a document that is of record is insufficient to establish that VA has constructive possession over that document. Finally, and as to appellant's broader assertion that the CHECO report is constructively a record because it establishes that herbicides were used in Thailand during the period in which the veteran was on active duty, this court should find that such an assertion is insufficient to establish a direct relationship between the CHECO report and her claim. This court's two most recent precedential decisions on the doctrine of constructive possession make clear that in order to establish that a document be constructively before VA, a claimant must establish that there be a direct relationship between that document and their claim. In Monzingo, this court held that it was insufficient to argue only that a report contains general information, which is potentially relevant to the matter on appeal. Similarly, in Eusebio, this court reaffirmed its prior holding in Monzingo and held that simply because VA is aware of a report and that report contains general information relevant to the matter on appeal, this is insufficient to trigger the constructive possession doctrine. Consistent with Eusebio and Monzingo, this court must find that appellant's assertions that the CHECO report is constructively a record simply because it contains general information relevant to her claim are insufficient to trigger the doctrine of constructive possession. In fact, appellant fails to present any meaningful distinction between the facts of her appeal and those in Bowie, Monzingo, and Eusebio. Therefore, and consistent with past precedent, this court must find that the CHECO report was not constructively before the board because its connection to appellant's claim is too tenuous. Turning to our second point, Your Honors, because the CHECO report is not constructively a record, reconsideration under 3.156C1 could only be triggered if appellant can show that VA had a duty to obtain the CHECO report on her behalf. But this court should find that there was no such duty. Here it is undisputed that neither the veteran nor appellant ever requested that VA obtain the CHECO report and associate it with the claims file. In fact, neither the veteran nor appellant ever specifically referenced the CHECO report in any statement or filing made to the RO or to the board. Therefore, it was not error for the board to conclude that VA satisfied its duty to assist because appellant had not adequately identified any specific records that VA needed to obtain and failed to do so.
Just a minute. Why isn't it the VA, the obligation of VA to at least tell an applying veteran of the existence of the Chico report? I would go further and say, what's stopping the VA from telling every veteran? I mean, you send out constant reminders and self-congratulatory messages about how wonderful the VA is operating day in and day out to veterans. What possible reason would there be for the VA, once it finally received, actually received the Chico report, to send it to every veteran saying, hey, maybe you ought to reevaluate your situation? But short of that, certainly you've got a pending application from Mrs. Richard. Why not send it to her, either under a duty to assist or, to me, a good faith effort on the part of the secretary to be consistent with the intent of Congress. Congress, in a statute, intended to cover these veterans. Did it not? This is not a self-congratulatory activity by the secretary through a regulation. Its actions have to be consistent with the intent of Congress. So, specifically, what stops the veteran, the VA, from sending to every veteran, or in this case, to Mrs. Richard, notice that we've received this report. If it's got something to do with your claim, put it in the file.
Your Honor, as of now, the only duty that VA has for a claimant is to help them obtain evidence that's relevant to their claim. Here, the fact that the veteran was awarded service connection without the Chico report being in the claims file is sufficient to show that there was that the Chico report did not need to be a record in order for the benefit to be granted. Also, the regulation at issue 3.156C does not prescribe any greater duty to assist in terms of reconsideration of a claimant's appeal. That is the way that this regulation was written. And the court's role here is to just evaluate the way the board proceeded in accordance with that regulation. And again, it's the secretary's position that the Chico report needed to be constructively a record in order for reconsideration to have occurred in this matter. And aside from the duty to assist.
Can we jump in there? So I want to go back to ask you about the 2011 compensation bulletin that you were discussing earlier. I know you said you don't read it as having a direction to all the adjudicators to go out and re-adjudicate these claims in accordance with 3.156C, but even the example that's provided in that bulletin says they will assign an earlier effective date based on the previously denied claim if the Chico report came in after that. So first of all, what happened to this bulletin? Has it been rescinded? Was it incorporated into the manual? Was this guidance on 3.156C, is that still current for at least the RO adjudicators?
Your Honor, I believe that this guidance is still current in the terms of that if a claim based on Thailand Agent Orange exposure, the RO is to develop the claim based on the veteran's MOS and whether that MOS put them in proximity to the perimeters of the base that used herbicides. But we read this compensation and service bulletin as saying if the Chico report has been placed or received or associated with the specific claims file, then would reconsideration occur. And then only if VA were to award benefits based in part on that Chico report, would the earlier effective date provisions of C3 apply?
Sticking with that bulletin that Judge Meredith is asking about, could you direct us to the part of that you read to say what you just said?
Sure.
Because there is one part as you're looking at it. I unfortunately have only one small computer screen in front of me, so toggling back and forth would be difficult. But there is one part in that that basically says, you know, even if we stumble across the issue, basically, we're going to do this. Doesn't even have to be raised. So if you can point me to the language in the bulletin that says that VA, that the position that VA lists there, that's actually described under the heading policy, applied only if the report was actually in the file or under your terms constructively in the file. If you could point me to that language, that would be very helpful.
Sure, Your Honor. How exactly do you have the commutation and service bulletin available to you?
I do. I can if I'm not looking at people. It's I apologize in advance. Yep, it's right in front of me now.
Sure. So on, Your Honor, the second page of the newsletter, under policy 211, the second paragraph states the regulation says a denied claim may be reconsidered based on receipt of service records. So here again, the receipt is at issue, and it's the secretary's position that the service record must be received with the claims file in order for the reconsideration provisions to occur.
But of course, it's referring in 3.1, it says 3.156C states a denied claim may be reconsidered based on receipt. But as we, you and I were just talking about, the regulation says VA receives, right? It doesn't say the claims file.
Yes, Your Honor, but this is where we disagree. It's the secretary's position that receipt here still must mean constructive or actual possession.
Okay.
Turning to our final point, Your Honors, because reconsideration under C1 did not occur and no benefits were awarded based on the submission of a newly associated service department record, the board was not obligated to discuss the earlier effective date provisions of C3. It also bears emphasizing here that appellant cannot obtain the result she seeks with this court. VA's duty to reconsider a claim under C1 requires that VA consider anew the merits of a claim with the service department record associated with the claims file. Then, only if benefits are awarded based in part on the service department record will VA then consider the earlier effective date provisions of C3. But here, the board did not consider appellant's claim in conjunction with the Chico report, and therefore it cannot be said that VA awarded service connection based in part on the Chico report. And finally, Your Honors, I just want to circle back to the Lange case. The Federal Circuit, in explaining why constructive possession under 3.156B did not need, basically the Federal Circuit cited Sullivan and said that the veteran's own medical records, which are generated by VA, are always reasonably raised because there's no limiting principle on when VA treatment records need to be in the file. They are always constructively of record. This is a specific distinction between the facts at issue in Lange and the facts at issue here. Again, Your Honors, in order for reconsideration provisions under C1 to have occurred, the Secretary submits that the report had to be either actually or constructively of record. And the Secretary's position is that the Chico report was not constructively of record, and therefore there was no error for VA to not reconsider under C1. And if there are no further questions, the Secretary respectfully requests that the court affirm.
I'm not sure it's a question. You know, I know you and Mr. Walsh will talk at some point after this. It seems inconceivable to me that at the end of the day, even though it's going to take jumping through lots more hoops because I think it's going to take time, that at least from my perspective, you know, VA should have done what it said in that compensation bulletin that it was going to do. And we may end up writing an opinion, and I have not conferred with my colleagues, but it's going to take this woman far, far, far longer to get what VA actually told its adjudicators to do. And if VA can find it in its heart to think about whether this is not a case that needs to be decided by three federal judges on this basis, I would encourage you and Mr. Walsh to think about that because I, for the life of me, can't think of what legal principle VA is trying to establish here. And it is just running out the clock for her. And so I just want to say, I really, really, really strongly encourage you and Mr. Walsh to think about that along with your superiors in this case.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. We will carefully consider your recommendation.
Anything further, Judge Meredith?
No, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the appellant.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. And just a few very quick points. Number one, Judge Allen asked whether the secretary disputes that the Chico report was received after the initial denial in this case. The initial denial in this case was in 2003, and to return to this December 2011 bulletin, the example there given is of a veteran with Thailand perimeter duty who was denied service connection in 2006. And that being after 2003, I think helps to establish that VA received the Chico report by its own interpretation here, its own policy after 2003. Adding to that, again, the VA website printout that Mr. Richard provided in 2011, which referred to VA, the Chico report having been recently declassified. I think it'd be quite a stretch to say recently declassified went back to 2003, but again, the December 2011 compensation bulletin speaks to that probably more directly. Second, I do think it's worth spending at least a little time on the 3156B versus C distinction that seems to be the cause of some confusion here. I think Judge Allen was exactly right in focusing on the language of the regulation. So if 156B starts out, new and material evidence received, using the passive voice. And so what I'd like to do, just in the context of this discussion, is to assume that the Secretary is exactly right on B. Everything about it, the regulation means exactly what the Secretary says that it means. It still doesn't matter for C. And the reason, so number one, you have this new and material evidence received, passive voice, not indicating who is doing the receiving in B. And then in C1, by contrast, you have quote unquote, VA receives, being very specific that it is the Department of Veterans Affairs, just as Judge Allen said. There's also a clause at the end of B that that says that if the new and material evidence is received during the appeal period, that it will be considered to have been filed in connection with the pending claim. There's no similar language in C. There's no similar link to the particular claim. There's no provision at all that requires receipt in connection with a particular claim under C. The third point that I'd like to, again, this will be quick, mention is Judge Greenberg asked, well, what's stopping the VA from telling all veterans about the Chico report? And I just want to mention that I would invite this court to visit the same VA website that Mr. Richard had submitted in 2011 referring to the Chico report, identifying it, describing it. What this court will find, and I'm happy to submit a notice on this if it would be helpful, is that the same website no longer lists the Chico report, no longer provides any information about it. VA has taken this information down, taken it away from veterans, and is making it that much harder for them to get relief. For all of the reasons that I have mentioned today, and for all of the reasons that Mrs. Richard has briefed, I therefore respectfully reiterate Mrs. Richard's request that the court reverse the board's denial of an effective date earlier than October 7th, 2011. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Allen, do you have any further questions?
I don't. Thank you, Judge Greenberg.
Judge Meredith?
I do not. Thank you.
Well, we thank both counsel for an excellent presentation, both in writing and in the argument, and we will reserve our opinion and issue it shortly. Thank you all very much. Mr. Block?
Court is in recess.